Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
All right, and we're back. Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show with your host, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and our great support team backing us in the cloud, as it were. We're here for another week of great entertainment and audio and car audio help. You know how it goes. Chris, how are you?
Doing well, Ray. How are you doing?
Not
I had a wonderful
bad.
Week. No, that's cool. That is cool. How was your week, by the way? I mean, anything automotive that you were able to pull off in this fine, upstanding environment that we're living in right now?
Yeah, actually, I did. I was able to. I did a couple things. My Fiat got taken out of storage yesterday.
What?
Oh, it's back. It's back. I took it out again now, and I noticed it's been 6 months off now, 6 months on. And, how to do a little bit of a battery recharge.
Now, just got to ask you, now I know how Italian vehicles are when you let them sit for longer than two or three weeks. What malady surfaced in the 6 months that it sat sleeping?
Well, the only real problem was the battery goes dead because I have it in a garage that is off site and I can't, I can't keep it charged. Right. And I didn't take it out or anything. So I did. I brought my jumper packs. I have those lithium ion battery jumper packs. We've spoke about them. And I brought two of those, and that's how I got the car started. Interestingly enough, that car has had it had a habit where every year when I would first start after the car
started, only one habit? Only one?
Well, yeah, believe it or not, really only one.
What?
But now that changed. It changed. And habit was this. I would start that car for the first time after the layover. And I guess the way the oil sits in the engine, there's a seal, also a distributor seal, that I guess would, it wouldn't swell, do the opposite. It would constrict. And when the car would start, besides belching out a lot of oil smoke out of the tailpipe, because probably the valve guides were leaking a little.
Sure.
There's oil that comes out of that distributor seal that also hits the header and so the first thought, I would actually push it out of the garage so that would happen out in the open air.
You wouldn't asphyxiate everybody.
Right. Now, that didn't happen yesterday. I did get some smoke out of the tailpipe, but it wasn't as bad. And the oil was full. It wasn't that it was empty or anything.
Right.
But what happened was I drove from the garage and then I went four towns. I stopped down at the shop. I had to go see what was going on down there. I wanted to use the battery charger and the battery tester. And when I got there, Mike Jr., he bought himself a boat. So he was working on his boat.
It just goes on, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, car guys, we're all buying all sorts of crazy stuff.
You didn't tell Mike Jr. the theory about buying a boat. It's the happiest day in an individual's life, the day he buys it and
the day he sells it.
Yes.
Well, he knows it. And it's not a big boat. It's a small boat. It's a pleasure craft. It's, on a trailer. And he and his girlfriend, they've been going out a couple times already. First day out, the Coast Guard pulls him over, of course,
Of course.
Of course. But so he was servicing the hub bearings, and he needed a little heads up on the bearings.
Hopefully on the trailer, not on the boat.
On the trailer. So my car.
I don't think there's many hub bearings on a boat.
No, not really. There was the way they were parked is my car, then a full space, and then the boat outside the bays. And I noticed when I walked over to the boat, I smelled a little gas, And he said he had a gas line that he had to fix, but he fixed it. And his buddy that was there said the same thing. I smell a little gas. He says, could it be coming from your car? I'm like, I don't think so. And he goes, no, I think I smell it over here. Well, I opened the hood of the Fiat and he looks inside. He goes, what's that damp area down there?
Oh, you don't like a damp area down there. That's no, for sure.
No. So I take a look, and where the charcoal recovery can is, right below that is wet. And I check it. You know, of course, you taste it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, gasoline.
Yeah, you don't want a damp area under your can. That's for sure.
So, no. So this was the new malady now. So I had parked
it. Certainly is. I had a little powder won't cure this one. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it would actually help. I had parked the car with the tank full. So what happened is, I know what happened, and I'll tell you my theory of why. The gas expanded in the tank, came up the vent line that goes into that charcoal canister. Now, I have all the whole evap stuff disconnected on that car. I put the charcoal canister back in because the hose that went to it was the vent line. And when I parked the car in the garage after filling it, the woman who owns the house called me once and said, Ray, the garage smells like gas. I think your car, what's going to happen? Is the car going to blow up? I'm like, let me come see. I said, no, I just filled it. Well, I realized that vent line was letting vapor out.
Okay.
So I put the charcoal canister back in, connected it. There hasn't been a problem now in, that's probably 5-6 years ago.
Wow.
So now what happened is the gas came all the way up the vent line into the charcoal tank, and at the bottom of the charcoal tank was another open nipple, and
yeah,
that's where the gas poured out.
Oh, okay.
So I hooked the hose up to that and raised it up, so now it's got to come up at a level. But I said, okay, I opened the tank and vented it. Yeah, there was no pressure or anything, but I said, all right, that's the new malady for 2020. That's the new one, you know? And then I took it and went over to Paul's house to see him and all, and everything was fine and dandy, so it is what it is.
Good. It's all ginger peachy. I love it.
I tell you something. Car still, it drives. I sucked the brake fluid out, changed that, you know, checked the coolant. I did all the perfunctionary stuff. And it just drives and acts just like it always did. It's just like, just back like it was last time I drove it.
Wow.
Which is great.
That is amazing. That little car just keeps on going. It is a testament. I can't even, the way that I have to stop that. It's not a testament to Italian technology. I can't say that. It's a testament to your technology. Right. I'm sure the good people at Fiat had nothing to do with it.
You know, who knows? Sometimes you get a car that's a good one. Sometimes you get one that's the total lemon. You know, I don't know. And sometimes you get sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. This one is working well. But
right. That's for sure. Sometimes you're the Kenworth, sometimes you're the June bug. I get it.
So if you want to tell us about your June bug story, you can give us a call at 516-256-9510. And we'll talk about it. But I did see something else automotive. Well, there's a couple automotive things I did. But I saw a DMV office in Belmore, which it's like a satellite office. It's not a DMV office. It's a person who runs an office. They're a runner. You know, they do like runs for dealerships and
yeah,
you know,
sure. They wait online. That's what they do. They wait online.
Okay. Well, they're apparently open because I saw a line of people outside that office the other day.
Wow.
So now we had talked about how you can't do anything through DMV. Well, now you can. So, you know,
that's good to know. Well, I have to wait on that for the great state of Connecticut to open up for. I have to go and do some DMV work as well. So we are waited with bated breath to see if we can get this fine state open so we can get that done. But yeah, it's I'm not looking forward to that. And I'm hoping that we have a service up here where we have like almost storefronts and they can take care of smaller things like anything just basically clerical, like even like a driver's license renewal, they will do you don't have to go to the DMV office. You can go to these DMV annexes, which is kind of cool. But even those, you know, here in Connecticut, it's like you have to make this statement. Oh, look, it's open. The store is open. Let me go in and take advantage of it, because it's not like you can assume things are open up here sometimes. It's like you pull up to a store and it's closed. I mean, this was before all this happy horse stuff was going on. This was normal that you would drive past like the medical emergency center and go, oh, look, it's open. That's great.
Yeah.
You know? sometimes it wouldn't be. And they would never post their hours, like, we're not going to be open on Thursdays. They wouldn't do that. But anyway, I digress. But that's one thing that you have to do. You have to literally physically go past the place and go, ah, it's open. All right, let me go in and take advantage of that now. But that's beside the point. But yeah, it's one of those things. I'm glad to see that things are opening again. It's really nice. Did I tell you that on Saturdays, if you go out on the roads here on Saturdays, people are actually cruising in their old cars. When is that? It is amazing how we're reverting back to the 70s again. Everybody's hair is long, drive-ins are cool, and people are cruising around. It is hysterical. This to me is just like, you will never see this stuff again. It's like, I'm like feasting my eyes on it. I'm like, people are actually cruising around, because at one time in the old days, which were only about what, 6 months ago, that people would drive into the parking lots. And this was a lament that I've had, that we've been yelling about for years, that these automobile owners, these classic car owners, would drive into the parking lot, park the car, get open the trunk, take out the folding chair, drop it on the ground, sit there for what, 3, 4, 5 hours, answer questions. Then when the sun started to come down and the shadows started to get long, they would pick up, put the folding chair, fold their folding chair, put it back in the trunk, close the trunk, and drive away.
Right.
And this was a Sunday. And I was like, okay, enough of this.
Yeah.
Can we do something else? But at least now they're actually driving around in the area here. They're driving around in their cars, and I'm thinking, they're cruising again. This is fantastic. I love to see this. They're actually using their vehicles. Yeah. It's like, when are we going to put that rally together?
I saw something yesterday that I haven't seen in a couple months.
Wow.
I was weaving my way from the South Shore of Long Island up to the middle. I was going to Paul's house. So I took Peninsula Boulevard north, and as I approached the Southern State Parkway, which was now perpendicular to me,
sure,
I saw the eastbound Southern State at exit 18 stopped.
Ooh.
Chris, people have been doing 90 because there's no traffic. Now it was just stopped, like a typical Saturday afternoon.
Oh, wow. Why? So
people are coming out. There's more and more people out on the roads. They're just going everywhere. They're doing stuff, you know.
Oh, so we're back to normal on the Southern State on a Saturday afternoon.
I think it's the
Southern State parking lot.
People are saying, hey, I've had enough. I'm just, you know, I'm going to go out and live my life. I mean, the stores are finally having products back in them, which is nice. You don't have to, you know, settle for like the third brand of beans or whatever the hell it is you're trying to buy. You know, there's stuff out there again, but
well, as long as they do it responsibly, and as long as everybody's wearing a mask, and as long as they're all staying 6 feet, 10 feet apart from each other, I think it's fine.
Hate the masks. And Jenny,
I don't blame you.
Oh, I hate the mask. Oh, I saw something on.
But it's what we have to do. When science says to do it, okay. You run a good argument.
I saw something on Friday, and I thought of you. I found a fellow through our good friend Gerard at Rolling Thunder Cycles and Scenic Downtown Hempstead, who he has a polishing company, and I needed to have some stainless steel trim for my Pontiac polished, the wheel well arches, belt line moldings, which are aluminum, not stainless, the door handles.
Really?
Yeah. And this fellow's out in Babylon. So contacted him, took a drive out this Friday to drop this stuff off.
Right.
He's in the same, well, I had a conversation with him on the phone. He's in the same development, and that development is like a mile long of all streets, where there's all sorts of you know, shops and whatever. He's on the other end of the development of where Mikey T's shop was.
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking.
All the streets went by A, B, C, D. They were names. Mike's was Dale Drive. You know, they all went by names. So this guy was all the way up in like the far end. So after I left his shop, I shot down, and he knows Mike. He knows Mike. I said,
"Oh wow, who doesn't know Mike?"
Right. I said to him, "You know, Mike and T was a co-host on the show. Oh, how's Mike? How's he doing?" I'm like, "I wish I knew."
Hasn't come up for air yet.
So what I did is I drove down to Mike's block because I heard, about a year ago, 2 years ago, I went down there, and the door is still painted with the logo for the shop and all. And I drove down the block, pulled into the lot, and sure enough, there's a American flag hanging over the door. His door is still painted. It's like he's still in that shop.
Really?
But I don't doubt it, because if he wasn't and they re-rented it, they would have repainted it.
Yeah, sure. Wow.
So I got a feeling he kept that place and he's just laying low. So.
Well, I hope he's out there. I hope he's listening. And if he's listening, call us. What's our number again, Ray Ray? Well, oh, here it is. 516-256-9510 is right. The phone number to get
and
hold of.
And if you're too shy to call, you should follow us. Check us and follow us on social media. Of course, Motormouth Radio is how you find us on the internet, on, you know, on the website, on Insta, on, well, the website, Twitter, and Facebook. Ya Faccia Bruta is Motormouth Radio. It's Joe's favorite on Instagram, real_MotormouthRadio on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, we've been a little quiet in those areas lately, except for the Tom Cotter posts that have been going up, which we're getting a lot of response. The Tom Cotter's tips.
Let's go to the phones, Ray Ray. Can we do that?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun. Let's say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, long time no speak.
Hey, Vic, how are you?
What's up, Vic?
All right. How you guys doing?
Doing very good. Well.
Yeah. How are you, my brother?
You're getting out finally. Doing much better, right?
Yeah.
Trying to.
Now we can do some car stuff now, you know?
Uh-huh. A little bit, yeah.
Doing the yard stuff first and working on the car at the same time.
Okay.
working on the 46, putting a recessed firewall in it. So
you're putting a recessed firewall in a 46 what?
Chevy Coupe.
Oh, nice. Very yep. cool. Yep.
I was putting a caddy in it, but I got a small block going in it.
You have to recess the firewall for a small block?
Yeah. Just move it back a look an inch, so.
Well, it's probably one of those that's it's bumped out, right? It's bumped out about 4 or 5 inches.
A little bit, yes.
Right.
So, yes, a little bit.
So you're cutting that back. Yeah, okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
How were you cutting it out, Vic? What was the method of the method of madness?
A whiz wheel.
Okay.
A whiz wheel, leave about an inch or so around it for the tacking, and then you just bondo it to smooth it out. They make one for it. They make a small block, a big block. It's pretty straightforward as long as you got a welder.
Okay, good.
If not, you're screwed, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so, I'm sure.
I don't know if you know, Bernie Schachter died on Wednesday.
Yes, I did get that sad note. We talked about it Thursday night on Playing in Traffic. And because Chassis John, our good friend Chassis John from Chassis Connection, Bernie worked with him at the shop. John employed him for about a year.
Yes, and Bernie was a friend of the show too.
Yeah, Bernie was. How old was he, Vic? I know he was up there. Do you know his exact age?
Late 80s.
Yeah, he was up there, right?
So and he was at the VA and pretty happy there. Well, that's where he had to be anyway. So
right, yeah.
Right. He was good. You spoke to him and you learned something every minute. You know?
Oh yeah.
That's what we loved.
One
about
of those guys.
Yeah, that's what we loved about him. You walked away knowing more than when you first started speaking to him. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anytime I went to Uncle Anthony's shop where he was just for 10 minutes, it was an hour or two later or so. He was just sitting there and I was listening, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's for sure. And Bernie was the, what would you say, the unofficial creator of the rear-engined rail dragster, right? And Don Garlitz, who was the one famous for the rear engine dragster, took the cue from Bernie, right? Isn't that what Bernie
gets at? Finally admitted it years back.
Right.
That Bernie was number one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, when you talk to Bernie, I said, well, what did you do with motors? He goes, I said, how'd you know nitro? He goes, it blew up. You went to the junkyard, got another one, and used a little less.
Used a little less. Yeah. That's it. Back it down a skosh.
Yeah.
Back it down a mouthful.
Yeah. Yeah. And like he said, he goes, he's the only one that won at Roosevelt Raceway drag strip.
Oh, cool.
What do you mean?
You don't remember that. You remember that? Nobody would remember that, but that worked until the guy got killed in a dragster that Bernie sold him.
Yeah, that was the old Roosevelt Field is now, Chris. That there was an actual raceway there.
Holy smokes! That's what.
Not where Roosevelt Field was. Where Roosevelt
right on the outskirts, because I've seen some pictures. I mean, I never saw it personally. It was before my day, but
yeah. Yeah,
Vic,
for mine too, but you know,
Vic, if I had
he was
the
saying
time,
how you're supposed, Yeah.
Now, if I had the time, I would love to sit down with you and we'd just record all of the Long Island racing history that you have between your ears. Is just fantastic. Yeah. Just so vast how much you know about.
You got to get through the peanut butter that's between his ears, too.
Well, you just sit down and listen to people. You know, pick up a little bit on each conversation and remember it.
Yeah, I'm just amazed at how much you know.
No younger people remember any of this stuff.
We have to write it down.
It's like Marty. It's like, you know, you talk to Marty, how much you learn every time, right?
Oh, Marty, right. Yeah.
That's why, you know, whenever I spend time with Billy Lynch, I was always I want to like break out a notepad and be like a steno, but you don't want to seem weird or odd, you know, but you're going to forget the stuff, and I mean, those guys have history that's unprecedented. It's
exactly.
Yeah, very true. Yep. Very true. And that's why it's got to keep going. And thankfully, Vic, you know, we can have these conversations and talk about it. And at least with the show, we can get this information out where it's recorded and someone can listen back to it and go, wait a minute. And Motormouth Radio is a source of Long Island history, which is long shot as it is. But just for the fact where was Roosevelt Raceway? Let's get back to that. Where was that exactly? Do you know?
In the parking lot.
Really?
And and at the end you had to turn right or else you'd crash. And the guy he was racing the one day didn't turn, and he put the thing up on two wheels to get it to stop through the sand and all.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, all forms of racing, all tracks, there's all sorts of, you know, mishaps like that. It's growing pains. It happens, you know, and that's when they learn, hey, we need a big cutdown area. We need to take that foam pole out or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was, basically, yeah.
Yeah, because cars go faster.
Look at the pictures of old drag strips where the guys are just a chain link fence away from 200-mile-an-hour cars.
Yeah.
Right? Or York US 30, where it's basically nothing.
Yeah.
You looked at that track.
Well, yeah.
It was just back about 100 feet.
We go back to the original days in the 50s, 40s, 50s. These guys, they were on airstrips, old airstrips, abandoned airfields. And there was really not much of anything out there. You know, it was the Wild West. But,
the first one up in Glen Cove on a street.
Yeah.
The police in charge. Right? Sure. Single lane drag strip.
Sure.
Right? Wow. Safety was a World War II helmet, maybe?
Yeah. And a T-shirt.
Well, guys are wearing T-shirts, cigars. Yeah, arm out the window. Yeah, you look at the early stuff. You know, the early NASCAR stuff from Daytona Beach. Guy literally arms out the window in a T-shirt. You know? Right.
With a cigarette while they're fueling them up.
Yeah. Right? Those cars rolled over for like a half a mile. So, There's a lot to be said for the way the sports progressed, without a doubt.
Oh, totally.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. I got to go. I'm moving pavers around in the driveway.
All right, Vic.
Thanks for the call, my brother.
Talk to you guys later. Be safe, everybody.
Talk to you
soon. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, that was Vic. And you can be like Vic and give us a call at 516-256-9510. I know we're going to have a special call from one of our buddies down from Mississippi Way in the after our bottom of the hour break. We're going to talk to Mr. Clay Kuhn and some cool stuff that he's got going on. And you know, he's because of Clay, he's now introduced a whole new audience of folk to this show.
Sorry to hear that.
Sorry to hear it, yeah. But, you know, I think they'll see that no matter where you are in the country, we're all just doing the same thing.
You know? That is true. I don't think I can go through a week without coming up with some sort of ponderous question. And what this week is no different. And I figured now's a good time to take advantage of that. I just wanted to ask a silly question. I'm just thinking about it. I was stumbling through, perusing through some from articles, and I found an article of Barrett Jackson. What was it? A Barrett Jackson auction, the Wayne's World Pacer.
Oh, that I heard about that. Yeah,
the car went with all the fees included. The car went for $37,400.
Good
Ray,
Lord,
Ray. When did this car become cool?
Yeah, you right.
Know, I'm thinking about this. I'm like, wait a minute. When did Pacers become cool? Then I found another one, December 30th last year, a very nice 1980 model, went for $23,000 at Hemmings.
Wow.
And I'm like, $23,000 for a Pacer? What, that is more, truthfully, than like your car and my car put together.
The coolest thing I've seen recently, it was just this weekend, I think Friday night, Motor Trend TV. I don't know which crew did it. I didn't watch the show. I was watching something else. They took a Pacer, and it looks like they four-wheel drive, put on a four-wheel drive chassis with big tires, and they took it off-roading. It looked cool. It looked cool as hell.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it cracks me up because I'm like, I remember when Pontiac Aztecs were, you couldn't wipe them off the map. They were just so bad. No, people were that had bought them were embarrassed to drive them. Now, because of Walter
Breaking
White,
Bad.
Breaking
yeah.
Bad, all of a sudden, I'm looking at a Pontiac Aztec now on my computer screen. It's like this car is now like coveted. People are snapping them up. And I'm thinking, when did this happen?
Mike has one of them, don't you? He does. Steven has one, and he loves it. He drives it around. He's driven it to Florida a few times. He said, and I've been in it. It is a good riding minivan. It really is comfortable. It's quiet. It just, like, you know, I had that. You remember I had that the Oldsmobile Silhouette that was like,
oh yeah, that was another one.
Same thing. That was a great driving minivan. I mean, we took that thing to Canada. We took it all over the place.
You mean the car like, they affectionately call the Anteater?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It just looked weird, you know.
Yeah.
And there was Pontiac version of that as well.
Yes, there was. It was called the Transport.
Transport, yeah.
Transport. It was the play on that word, two words. So,
but the Pacer, I was waiting. I was just waiting because, okay, the Vega, the Pinto,
and
the Gremlins, they're not really bad-looking cars. Mavericks, they're not bad-looking cars. And they've had their day. They've become popular in a lot of different forms, especially in racing because they're so light. And guys will just put big engines in them. But I was waiting for that Pacer because it's another one of those small cars that, of course, the fishbowl, and it was, you know, that quirky thing that nobody would want to be seen dead in it if they were self-respecting. But there you go. Everything old is new again. And now
it's amazing because I always thought, like, there were years ago, the Edsel obviously was a car that nobody wanted to deal with. And people were that owned them were embarrassed to drive them when we were kids. Remember, everybody laughed at them. Now to find an Edsel Pacer, an Edsel Corsair convertible is we're talking about a $75,000 car. And because people are they appreciate them so much now. And it's almost like you say, it's old, it's new again. And just to see these cars that started out being bashed, we've seen this in our automotive lifespan, where we've seen the car come out, we've seen the reviews, we've seen people go, ugh. We've seen them in every single 10 ugliest car articles. You've always seen those cars come up, and now all of a sudden, they're not anymore. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and we do know someone that has an Edsel.
Yes, we do.
Convertible, which is, and I've been in that car. It's actually a pretty cool car. It's a 50s convertible. So it rides and floats like a 50s convertible.
Right. Do you want to take another quick call or no?
We'd have to make it quick because we're going to take the bomb. Oh, yeah, let's do it. We'll just defray our call. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Back to the phones. Back to the fun saying, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey guys, this is Steve from West Hempstead. How you doing, Ray?
Hi, Steve.
How you doing,
are you?
Chris?
Doing well, Steve. How are you?
I just called to congratulate you guys on a fantastic show. Every week, you guys have me cracking up. Ray actually put me in one of his promos quite a few months ago, and I appreciated that. I was the guy that called and talked about one day owning a 34 Ford Coupe with suicide doors, but
that's right.
Yeah. And Vic really brings these the old Roosevelt Raceway strip, one of Glenn. I remember back in the day, you know, guys would go down Sunrise Highway, even there in Queens there. Hold on, what was that? South Conduit Avenue, a little bit west of the airport.
Yeah,
and then
South
even
Conduit.
Going into.
Or even
yep,
Loop.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Connecting highways,
highway, sure.
Oh, those were years.
Yeah, the good old days when the chrome was thick and the women were straight. I tell you, boy. Unbelievable.
I like to say those are the days when my my hair was long and my thoughts were short. Yeah, that's kind of reversed, but anyway, yeah. No, Steve, you know what? It's all good, and that's what we try to do here on Motor Mouth Radio. We try to keep that stuff, the feelings alive, keep the culture alive, and then educate the younger folk and pass it on, because that's what you have to do. You got to share it.
You got to remember that it's fun first. Yeah. It's always fun first. So you're right.
Yep. And even I get a kick out of the information and the tips and mechanical wisdom that you guys pass on. So keep up the good work, Sherlock. Keep up the good work.
Thank
Great
you,
show.
Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Keep in touch.
Yes. Stay with us.
Tell me, I send my regards, all right? Steve from West Hempstead.
I certainly will, yes.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. With that, we're going to be taking our bottom of the hour break. So hopefully we got everything will be in concerto here. We'll come back with more Motor Mouth Radio and Mr. Clay Kuhn in a few minutes after we take care of these spots. So keep it where you got it on Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside. We remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose the shop where you have your car fixed. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, including 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with rental car arrangements if needed. We're considered an essential business and are still open, providing touchless drop-off and pickup services. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motor Mouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motor Mouths, Ray Gorino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles, and these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars, and okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
All righty. Thank you, Steve, for that great recommendation and promo there. Steve Kay from Revelations. Check him out. He does a great show on Monday nights. And now you're back with Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. And we're here to take your not your calls. We're going to take a call from a special friend of ours down south. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about some cool stuff. I'll let Clay break it. So, but Steve, our last caller, Steve, is another great caller, Chris, as we spoke about. We don't hear from him enough. You know, Steve, if you're listening, call in more often because you have a lot to contribute. We like that.
Let's go to the phones and go back to the fun. Let's do that and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey Clay, how are you?
Hey,
Mr. Clay Kuhn.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We are doing very well. We are doing very well up here. Yeah. So we hear you got a lot going on down south. What's going on?
Yeah, man, it's really good. You know, we got a lot of new guys that's listening to your channel, and they're scattered out all over the United States. Of course, we had our meetup a couple weeks ago and introduced some of the guys there. We got guys in East Tennessee, a guy up in Missouri that's listening to you, a lot of local guys. So hopefully, and I know there's a couple of Mack dealers from Kentucky that's listening in, and also some of Matt Coe's higher up received the text this morning, and they're listening in as well. So
nice. And I tell you, Clay, you know how it goes. For guys up in the north to get guys in the south to listen, you got to have a guy from the south give it the tip of the hat. And thank you for that, because without that, like we say, we just try to do what everybody else is doing in garages and shops across the country. We're just talking cars. We're talking tools. And it's just what we do.
You know? But and Clay, you know, it's kind of funny because up here, I mean, if a car has less than four doors, it's cool. I mean, we're so starving for decent iron that you probably have down there in abundance. You know, we're up here. If it's not a station wagon, you know, we're like, hey, yeah, let's check it out. Right. And that's that. We always admire how you handle automobiles down by where you are, because of, I guess it's just the benefit of the weather, the benefit of the space, because we have neither up here. So I always say our job is harder, and that's why we admire the work that you guys do and how you do it. So it is a tip of the hat when you can actually say, hey, you guys are really, you know, running and jumping pretty well up here. It's nice to hear that. And I thank you. Thank you.
Well, I know, you guys have to fight a lot of rust, you know, that we don't, fortunately, down here. And I'm proud that we don't have to. You know, I look up to you guys for having to battle that, but I'm blessed that we don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But as far as what you was talking about the your guys, I don't think none of our guys knew about your radio program, and y'all have a great platform. It's very entertaining as well as informative, and I just want to share that with my guys because it's something I enjoy every Sunday and I look forward to. And I mean, when you can sit down for an hour and listen to you guys and it seems like you've been there for 5 minutes, you know it's a good program.
Yeah, thank you, Clay. And, you know, that's what I do. Like, you know, when I watch YouTube on my TV now, I watch it instead of TV. And, of course, I keep up on all of your videos, which that's how I found you. I was looking for a review on a particular Snap-on tool. And I'm like, who's this guy in the Snap-on truck? Let's check him out. And just fell into it immediately and said, oh, this guy knows his stuff. This is one of my keepers. It's good to keep it. You know, we get to keep in touch that way, and you get to feel like you know the person. But you just did something which is fantastic with Matco. Of course, you know, we all use all the different brands of tools. I don't know anybody. I don't know one person in my life who is just one brand specific. But we all have many, many different brands of tools. It's just the way it is. Tell us the story behind this new ratchet that you just broke the video on, please.
Well, it was about a month ago. You know, I had, it seems like tool colors has become a thing that's very important to a lot of people. You know, when they launched green and orange, everybody kind of went crazy about it. But, as you know, from watching my videos, Bill's a green guy. He likes green and my hobby is colors. I'm not really into green that much. My favorite color is blue. And I just made a comment, you know, it'd be nice if Matco would make blue a color option as well. You know, I know Carlisle has blue and Mac Expert's blue, and you know, Carlisle is a good ratchet too. And I just made the comment, I wish that Matco would make a blue ratchet.
What's up, guys? Today I'm
my favorite lock and flex head is the Matco, you know, and they listened to our viewers. There's a lot of comments on there, and I received a call from corporate and they made a blue ratchet and wanted to send me one to release and actually let me do the product release on it for them. So,
yeah. It is a sweet color. I have to say Capri Tools also use blue on a lot of their stuff, which is very nice. Mm-hmm. That's another one I know.
Yeah, they do. Capri's good stuff too.
Yeah. Now let me ask you a question, because I wonder if, you know, can you be sneaky? Can you get just the replacement soft grip handle and put it on, you know, take off the red and black one and put the blue one on? Is that possible? Do you know?
Well, as far as I know, with Matco's ratchets, they don't swap out just the handle,
okay.
You know, the grip itself. It's made onto the handle, as far as I know.
All right. I've never tried it. I don't know.
You know, which I mean, you know, going back to different tool brands, that's something that I'm extremely blessed with here where we live. You know, we've got a great Snap-on guy, of course. Our Matco guy is probably one of the top-notch guys. And now we've got Mac involved. And Mac has been a huge support, you know, since they've come on board with us. And I feel blessed, you know. They sent the guy up there with the RVRT bits. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not, but
yes,
I mean, it changed the game in bits. Like, hands down, that's probably the most technologically advanced tool that's come out since I've been involved with using tools, and it's changed the game.
Yeah, I watched the videos on that, and they are fantastic. I like that. Matco Man Brian just got in touch with me and said he's our Matco guy from Maryland, and said, yeah, those grips are, you know, part of the ratchet. It's, you know, they're not exchangeable. So we just did get clarification. I love this, Chris. Now we can get, like, you know, information, like, on the second.
On the fly.
Yeah.
But that's,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's the power of the internet, like you said, Ray. It's just fantastic that Clay can make a suggestion. And in this world of information that we live in, and how vast it is, and how much we can get soaked up at once, that you made a suggestion, and they heard you.
Yes.
and reacted to it and actually did it. And to me, there's such a testament in the power of the internet, and what we're doing and how we're doing it is just phenomenal. I think that is really great that happens. I love to see that, because I don't like when, like you say, you know, Clay, when you say that no one knows about the show, I've always thought that just do good radio and they will come. And that's really not the case. You really have to go out there and push for it. But because we're doing this way,
right,
and the word of mouth, and like you say, it's now going further than it was. It's just, I love this. I'm so impressed with how the internet is working in a very personal way. And I think that's awesome. And thank you.
I agree. Cool. I mean, it's amazing, you know, the resources that we have now to look up torque specs, or, you know, pretty much how to remove and replace any part, or how to diagnose anything on a car, you know, from wiring diagrams to, you know, with a click of a button. You know, technology is amazing. And, you know, a lot of people sent me messages, you know, like, dude, you did it. You got Matco to make the Blue Ratchet. But it's not me. You know, I didn't do that. Of course, I did do the video on it, but it took a lot of powers to be through Matco to actually step back and say, hey, let's listen to what the people want. You know, my hat's off to Matco as a company, because they took a risk as much as we did, you know, and to me, that speaks volumes of Matco as a company.
I agree.
I don't know of any other company that would do that. I mean, it's amazing that they would take a chance like that, you know. And, you know, I give every bit of the credit to everybody that left a comment on that video wanting a Blue Ratchet, and everybody that, I mean, there were several people had emailed Matco, you know, through the chain, and it worked. You know, it's amazing.
I have to say that if the people at Matco, I mean, all you had to do is look at it and say, hey, it's a no-brainer. It's Matco Blue. It's like, yeah. This is their color. Like when you were in, you know, on Michael's truck, and you showed the, you know, you pointed to the toolbox and you said, yeah, this color right here, this one, not the baby blue that Snap-on has, and not the darker blue. I don't like either of those either.
Yep.
But the Matco Blue is a beautiful shade of blue.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I mean, I think it's a beautiful ratchet, and, you know, I hope they continue the color line. And everybody's like, man, I can't wait to see you putting that ratchet to use. And I was like, man, I hate to tell you, but, like, this is the first one. Like, the one I have is one of the first ones that come off the production line.
Wow.
And it's going to go in a shadow box. You know, I mean, I'm not even going to lie about it.
You know,
I was actually going to say that. I was going to say, you're going to frame this.
Let me tell you a little ratchet story.
The highlight of my career.
When I saw you do the video on Matco's 40th anniversary black locking flex head soft grip ratchet, I bought one, and I got one for the Mike at the shop. He hasn't used his. I used mine once. And
once.
I, you know, when I go into my box, I grab the Snap-on locking flex. I don't want to scratch that beautiful Matco. How stupid is that? It's But
when the tool,
you've got an excellent Matco guy, and you need to get him to send you one of the my favorite ratchet. And dude, I've got over 60 Snap-on ratchets. Oh, I love ratchets. I collect ratchets.
Yeah.
But the 13-inch locking flex head Matco comfort grip is my favorite ratchet. It's the perfect length. I love that ratchet. I wouldn't change anything about it other than put a blue handle on it.
Now,
so you need to get Matco man Brian to hook you up with that.
Yeah. Well, he's listening now, so he just heard your plea. But wait a minute. When you just did the Mac video, you just compared the Mac, Matco, and Snap-on ratchets. You said the Mac ratchet is now your favorite.
I said it was the smoothest. I do like the Mac ratchet. I love the way the locking mechanism is.
Yeah.
I don't think, but, you know, ratchets are different. You know, I explained to everybody, you know, what I like in a ratchet, you may not like. I cannot stand to use a ratchet in an unlocked position.
Oh, me either.
I don't like a floppy, I call them floppy ratchets. I want it to be stable. I want it to be in a locked position.
Right.
And Max, it's either you have to lock it in one position, the locking one. And, you know, that's my only downfall. I think a lot of guys are going to fault it for that because, you know, like Bill, he likes his to be locked sometimes and loose sometimes. And with a Mac, it's either locked or you can't use it, you know, on the locking one.
Right.
There's no unlocked position in it. And I think that's the downfall with Mac. The new Mac ratchet, I do love it. I haven't used it much because I just got it. You know, I've used it 3 or 4 times, but I do like it. It's super smooth. But the Matco, I've had it longer. You know, it's kind of like the tool that you're used to. You always want to grab. And, you know, the Matco is that's still one of my favorites, you know.
You know, I got to tell you something. This is my other tool story that I think is kind of it made me laugh at myself. I was at the shop yesterday and I was helping Mike with these hub bearings. So I went in to grab my, a 10 millimeter socket. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to take the charcoal canister out of my car. So I need a 10 millimeter socket and a 3/8 ratchet. So I got the socket and I went and I grabbed my small ratchet and went to put the socket on and said, oh damn, it doesn't fit. What I grabbed was a 1/4-inch drive locking flex head comfort grip, Snap-on ratchet. And said, wait a minute. Now my brain went, what happened? No, because I had Matco Man Brian make me the 1/4-inch drive locking flex head comfort grip with a 3/8 drive head ratchet. And that one I have at home.
Yeah.
And they look the same because the Matco is orange and black and the Snap one is red. And I'm like, damn, now I got to buy another one.
See, I messed up when I had mine because I had Michael, my Matco Man, build me a 1/4-inch ratchet. And it's the same color. You know, the 1/4-inch ratchet or 3/8 head or 3/8 anvil is the same color as my regular. So I do that a lot. Like I'll grab it and go to put the socket on it and it's the 1/4 with a 1/4 instead of the 1/4 with a 3/8. So I have to dig back through there and find the right one. But I wish that I got them in different colors. It made it a little easier.
Well, I'll tell you, I stood back and I actually laughed at myself and I said, damn you, Clay, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have known about that. And damn you, Brian, for doing it for me. And then damn all you guys. I had a laugh. Grabbed the right ratchet, went about my business. So it was all good.
You know, I'm listening to you guys in awe because I know I have a ratchet with a big chunk taken out of it. like a husky or something like that. And that's my go-to ratchet. The one that the head's falling off on it. You know, it's those are my tools.
Hey, it's a great time to upgrade and get that new blue Matco ratchet now. I mean, it's a perfect time. So.
Yeah.
But Clay,
it's a good excuse to buy a new tool.
You think that you're having consternation over using the tool for working purpose because it looks so good. That tool is definitely better than what I'm working on. I would put it in the shadow box.
I'll buy another one. I'll buy another one to use. But the first one, I'm going to put up. I mean, I am, you know, that's like a, you know, it's a milestone. I don't know whatever in my career I could do as far as YouTube that would top that, but. You know, right now that's the top.
It is cool stuff.
It's too bad there's no way to really do it, but if you could have one of the Matco guys who was in on the design, like, sign that.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a ratchet, so, you know, you really can't.
Yeah, we'll get it a serial number as 001 or something like that. Well, put
Brian just told
it.
Me he's got 15 of them coming in blue.
Well, I hope he sells all 15 of them before they even get on the truck. I hope that's how good they do.
Yeah. The blue is a nice color. Yeah.
And you could say you had a hand in that, Clay, which is very cool.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that. It's like,
well, like I say, you know, all I did was make the video. You know, that's it. The team with Matco, they've got a really good team, and I've been working with some of the guys, and some of their social media people and their product people are just, they're phenomenal. They really are. Mm-hmm. Like they look at what's out there and what's hot right now and what they need to improve on, you know, and I've heard a lot of people wanting to bash Matco because they only make toolboxes and, you know, they want to give them flack for that. But I look at that as a positive thing because when they do that, they can pick the best guys to build their ratchets, which they have. They can pick the best guy to build this and this and this and this. You know, it's a positive thing, in my opinion. It's kind of like having an all-star team, you know.
Right.
And because the new ball joint press they got, I don't know if you guys have seen it or not.
I have.
It is made by OTC, but it is an amazing tool.
So, you know, the other thing I just saw, and I think I saw it on your channel, is the cooling reef, the cooling system refiller from Matco. Mm-hmm. It's part number MCR103A. It might have been on Matco's site. I might have seen it on their Instagram feed. I wanted to talk to Brian about this. That's another cool, you know, a really good tool, Chris. Like for cars like the Fiat that gets airlocked all the time, they say this will eliminate airlocks. So,
really?
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that as well. But Clay, before I forget,
well, it's so easy.
Yeah. Go on. Tell us about the use of it. Fill us in, and then I'll ask my question.
It's just so easy. You know, you pull a vacuum on it, you open one valve, and it sucks it full. You don't have to worry about burping. You don't have to worry about running the car and, you know, hoping it don't get hot and have an air bubble in it. I mean, you just fill it up. It's way faster than the old method that we're all used to of pouring it in there and messing with the bleeder screw if it's got one or squeezing the radiator hose. It's just simple.
Actually, in the manual for my Fiat, they say to lift the car until the rear bumper hits the ground. Like this. Well, the problem is the engine is a little higher than the radiator, so it's just by the design of the hood. So you're gonna get an airlock, and every time you take the system down, you get an airlock. So, Clay, for the benefit of the people who may not know, please tell everybody how they can find you on any on all your social media platforms, of course, and on your YouTube channel.
It's just Koon Trucking, KOON Trucking. And if it'll help you on especially YouTube, you can just type in like Koon Trucking, Snap-on or Matco or whatever your favorite brand of tools is, and it'll usually pull up. So, and it's the same way on Instagram. It's just Koon Trucking.
Right. That's how I find it. And also on Motormouth Radio, there is a link to your site. So people can go to motormouthradio.com and find that link. And I tell you, Clay put some, Chris, you would love this. He put some really cool food pictures up when he goes out with his wife to local places. Man, these people, they eat great down there.
Very cool. You know, it's funny. I'm impressed at looking at the display that Clay has with the toolbox, and you had the ratchet on top of the toolbox. That toolbox, I almost stopped you for a second and went, "Where'd you get my toolbox?"
Oh, the Craftsman, the red Craftsman.
I have one of those in the same exact condition, in the same exact patina, and I use it on a regular basis. So now you have a rough idea of my tool selection.
Right. Hey, it worked.
That was my first real toolbox. At 15, I've got the little bottom box that goes with it. It's just got the little door that flips up, you know.
Oh,
but
man.
At 15, that was my first toolbox, and you know it was all dirty and dusty from being in the barn. And when we built our studio to do the, you know, multi-camera shots that we do on some of our videos, I said, man, that thing is beautiful. I would like to incorporate it in there, because everything in that studio has a meaning. You know, it's not just a prop. Like a lot of the sockets and ratchets that I have in there, they got great stories with them.
Oh, I'd love to hear them.
You know, I wanted that toolbox to be part of that, you know.
Clay, have you ever done, I mean, I remember when you, you know, when you did the studio, have you ever done kind of a walk around to show everybody what, you know, what's what?
Yes.
Because I'd love to see that.
I, I haven't. We're actually working on another part to that studio because I'm wanting to expand my channel. I'd like to get to the part where we can have sit down interviews with people and, you know, kind of explain a little bit of stories and in-depth stuff kind of behind the scenes with other products and stuff.
Right. Right.
And,
yeah, we love stuff like that.
You know, I'll probably do that because I've got some old wrenches in there, you know, that are like really old wrenches. And, a lot of it's got a lot of deep sentimental value, you know,
right.
Like it's priceless.
That's a great idea. Tool stories.
Yeah.
That's an awesome idea.
If you count me in, I have a few.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah,
totally.
We all do. All right, Clay, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know,
go on.
Okay, go ahead. You're good.
I was going to say, unfortunately.
I'd like to get up there one day.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I'd like to get down that way and check you out. That's definitely on my list to do. But unfortunately, we only have a few minutes left in the show. We're going to have to get scoot along so we can wrap. But I thank you for coming on at such short notice. It's always a pleasure to have you on. You're always welcome on this show. You know that.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thanks, Clay.
Talk again soon. Watch Clay on YouTube as I do, and you'll learn some stuff. So thank you, Clay. All right. Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You know, I love connecting with car guys from just other parts of the country. I think it's just... like I said, you realize like we're all doing, Mikey T always said that, like we're all doing the same thing. We may sound different, maybe look a little different, you know, but we're in a different area, but we're all doing the same thing. So.
But yeah, that's something I would love to see from Clay to describe everything that's within his studio, because I love stuff like that, especially like we just stumbled on, I think, on a $1 million idea, tool stories.
Sure.
I mean, we all have them. We all have them. There's, like you say, the commonality that Mikey D always talked about. That's one of them. I mean, right. Just some of the things, like I can go through the toolbox, and you know who knows all the stories about my tools? Me. That's it.
Yeah,
just definitely. Like you are the only one that knows the stories. Well, I know the stories about your tools, too. Because
sure.
We've been doing, you were a longtime radio colleague. We've been doing this show
That's a long time. That's right.
And every one of your tools has a story.
Tell you, we're going to be wrapping within a minute. And I want to say, you know, in the upcoming weeks, we're going to be having Mr. Mark Warman on again from Graveyard Cars. He's in a new season 14. And we're going to have
365.
Yeah. David, I'm not sure how to say his name, from Haggerty. He does videos on Haggerty's YouTube channel. We're going to be having him on.
Cool.
In the next couple of weeks. And Mr. Steve Linden's going to come back and talk about some stuff with us. So we have a couple guests stacked up now.
Hey.
We have the whole pattern.
Nice.
So, yeah. So we'll be doing our thing as usual. And
I'm looking forward to listening.
It'll be a good time. It'll be a good time. Chris, you keep playing in the garage. I'm going to try and do the same. My car got primed yesterday. But so that's it.
The GTO got primed? Nice.
Yes. So Kim is ready to go. We're going to get out of here. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino. Chris, what do we always say?
Don't follow us home in that cool car.
All right. And we're out of here. Motor Mouth Radio. We'll be back next week. See ya.
Bye.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside. We remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose the shop where you have your car fixed. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, including 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with rental car arrangements if needed. We're considered an essential business and are still open, providing touchless drop-off and pickup services. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.